It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our Bet 365 triple option feature. I'm going to tell you in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll have on with us old friend of ours, Ryan Harvat, hosts of Bet MGM Tonight. Will be on with us to talk about the best bets for the Final Four and looking at the SEC and the college football win totals that were posted, about a week back. And we'll get him to talk about that and thoughts on what he thinks will happen, not only in the SEC, but across college football. Charlie, tonight at 9:30, pregame here on the Big 870 WWL. The Pelicans play the Clippers, 9:30 tip-off time, and the clock has tick-ticking on the season already with the Pelicans and the Clippers. But you can hear that game tonight live right here on the Big 870. Again, pregame at 9 o'clock, and then you can hear Graf on the call at 9:30 tonight. Last night, LSU Tigers took care of business in a big way and beating Louisiana Tech 12-3, proved their record to 27-3. And Mr. Ethan, their designated hitter, had quite a night. 3-for-4 with a double. He has 6 home run of the season and 4 RBIs. So a big night for Ethan.
He's quietly been fantastic, Mike, as far as their DH kind of. When Jay talked about the amount of players that he had to squeeze into one lineup, Ethan Frye was kind of in the conversation. But the way he's swinging the bat, he's got to be an everyday player for this team as the DH. I think he's hitting over 400. I'll double check that. But I'm pretty sure on the season, he's one of those three players joining like Curiel and Jarrett Jones that's hitting over 400 on the season. He's been outstanding.
The other thing, too, is their catcher. This was a couple weeks back. I remember we talked to Scotty Sanders about it, and he told me, I asked him, tell me a guy that, maybe not frontline guy that's really going to come through for him. And he brought up Cade.
Arabide.
Yeah, Arabide. And how good he is. And he said, Mike, he can really swing the bat much better than I thought last night. He got 3 RBIs, had a 2-run single. And so he is, quietly been a very good player for the Tigers. And he was known, I think a lot of people felt he was more on the defensive side. But I think Scotty brought it up first about, hey, he's got a better bat swing than most people think.
You know, with Arabide specifically, his slugging percentage is really nice at .594. But real quick, I got the numbers up in front of me. Mike, Curiel leads the team with the .406 batting average. Ethan Frye right behind him at number 2, .404. on the season, and then Jared Jones at 402. So LSU's offense has kind of been their calling card. We've talked about their depth on the mound as well, and how, you know, the key pieces are starting to develop and really step forward with behind Cade Anderson, the Friday starter, the game one starter, because they do Thursday, Friday, Saturday now. You have Cowan, and then also Kaysen Evans has popped up as a great bullpen piece behind Anthony Ianson as well. You're getting the pieces on the mound that you need to be successful, but the offense has always been there this entire season. Like, they're top in the SEC in batting average. They're one of the best teams in conference play in batting average. The dip isn't that bad. And a lot of the reason for it, you know, those top guys in the top of the lineup with Curiel, with Jones, and now Ethan Frye establishing himself too.
Also, too, this afternoon, and we talked about this yesterday with Buzz Williams going to Maryland, where would A&M look? And there was a lot of smoke around there that they had targeted Chris Beard, the head basketball coach at Ole Miss, and today he made it known that he is staying with the Ole Miss Rebels. Crazy thing about Texas A&M, in the last 16 months, they've replaced their football coach, basketball coach, baseball coach. But Chris Beard made the announcement this afternoon through channels that he is going to stay at Ole Miss and not take what I think was a pretty lucrative offer to go to College Station.
Buzz Williams has had a very interesting career, hasn't he, Mike?
Has he?
He's hopped from spot to spot, and it's a lot of lateral moves, you know, as far as I would see him. And at the same time, like, he seems like he's kind of has like a ceiling that maybe he'll get to like an Elite Eight occasionally. Like, he'll get you in the NCAA tournament. He's that good. He's a good coach.
I think he's a good coach. I really do believe that, Charlie.
But I think he's kind of got an established ceiling at this point. So Maryland, you know, you had to figure something out, and they go out and get Buzz Williams, which is a good thing. We'll see what A&M does now to pivot. With Chris Beard, Chris Beard would have been a home run hire for them. He's been excellent everywhere.
And he knows
gone.
The area.
Right.
Since he was at Texas.
Texas Tech. Yeah. And Texas. So he's jumped around the block a little bit too. Chris Beard would have been fantastic for the Aggies. Instead, he's staying at Ole Miss. Good for the Rebels program. And we'll see what A&M pivots to.
You brought it up in the Sports Flash, but LSU landed a commitment from Northeastern's Rashad King, a 6'6" guard. He averaged a little over 18 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists last year for Northeastern. Now, again, you're jumping to a much better level of competition than you're playing at Northeastern. Matt McMahon has got to get this right. He will have no other time frame. He has got to get it right in an SEC that is, again, going to be loaded for 2025-2026.
King's the latest addition, Mike, and I read the numbers off there in the Sports Flash. Averaged over 18.5 points per game for Northeastern last year. Good size for a guard, 6'6", and, you know, we'll see what happens there. I know some people are kind of poo-pooing the move. You're going to a smaller school in the transfer portal to bring him in, and it's a little bit different with baseball versus basketball, so to speak, but we'll see what happens. At least McMahon's starting to kind of build this thing through the portal. That's the third addition already, and it's basically been one a day, so we'll see what happens next.
At 4:40, we'll have our daily draft talk, and it'll be about the linebackers. And I've talked about this before, about how the body changes in the linebacking position, and a lot of that starts, first of all, with 7-on-7. A lot of those guys that would have been playing tight end are now are playing tight ends, I should say, and wide receiver instead of linebackers. That's just part of the course. I've talked to Charlie about this. You go to the camps that I go to, first thing I ask, I'll see a 6'2", 6'3" guy. He's like 210. He's a sophomore in high school. Would you play on defense? No, sir, I don't play defense. I'm a receiver or a tight end. And so the numbers dwindling, and how it has become a position where you don't see a lot of early round picks being used on them because they're not there in comparison to maybe an era that I grew up in the 80s and 90s, where you saw a slew of them come out, and boy, they were terror coming off the edge. But now you're asking them to cover today because it's more of a pitch and catch game, and you see the offenses trying to play a little bit of chess with you, where, okay, if you're going to get smaller, then I'm going to run the ball at you. Charlie, we got a texter, and I talked about this yesterday about Otto Graham. My dad lived till he was 89 years old, and you could not convince him that was a better quarterback in the NFL that ever played than Otto Graham. Now, he would always tell me, Peyton Manning's close, but automatic Otto was the guy. And that run he had with the Cleveland Browns, my neighbor Joe Clark, who passed away a couple years back, he was the backup to Otto Graham. And to see what he did in a 10-year time frame, where in the championship games he was 7-3.
Pretty good, Mike.
That's pretty strong. But you couldn't convince my dad that nobody was better than Otto Graham in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, way, way, way before my time. So I can't act like I know much about it. I will say, I think that, you know, when the NFL was doing like the top 10s, I think positional rankings of all time, and they were talking about quarterbacks, and Otto Graham was on there, but Drew Brees wasn't. That got me a little bit aggravated, but granted, I never watched Otto Graham play. I grew up with Drew, so
yeah,
it is what it is.
And then they swung around real quickly. It was Otto running the Browns, and man, he was the ultimate. He ran the show. He was the czar.
Right.
And then he retires, bang. What'd they hit with? Jim Brown.
That's pretty good, Mike.
So they transitioned from – they threw the football a lot more than most people would have thought back then. But, man, I know one thing with Jim Brown. Man, I've seen a lot of backs, but I ain't seen that many that's that big, that fast, that strong. And he was running over people. And, you know, he decided to quit because they were going to fine him. He was making the Dirty Dozen in England. And he's like, man, what? I'm making more money making movies than playing ball, and I don't get hurt making movies. So decided to walk away. But I get that text, man. It almost sounded like my dad resurrected from the grave and would have wrote something like that to me. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and Ryan Harvat from our Odyssey Betting Insider, hosts of BetMGM Tonight, right after this break.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long. Charlie, before we go to Ryan, let me answer this question. We've had it a few times. They said, where's Bobby? I hope he's doing okay. Bob's doing okay. He's doing some traveling. Getting this time of year, he does that to go see Bo in St. Louis or his kid or his daughter in California. So Bob's doing okay. He'll be joining us, and we'll have our special like we normally do. When the schedule comes out, we'll stay here. I think unless baseball interrupts us, we'll be here till 8 o'clock that night talking about the schedule, and certainly Bob will be involved with all our draft coverage. Last year, Bo got married in Florida, so he wasn't able to join us then. He had bigger fish to fry back in them days, but Bob's doing okay, and he'll be joining us real soon. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and he is our Odyssey Betting Insider, hosts of BetMGM tonight, Ryan Horvat. Ryan, how you doing today, partner?
Mike, I'm doing good, man. Excited, obviously, we got the Final Four this weekend, but you know me, I'm more excited for the NFL draft.
Come on, pick Luther Burden. Pick Luther Burden for your Packers and get it over with.
You know what's funny? Yeah, I would love that, and I think that would be a perfect fit. And right now, I have no idea who the number one wide receiver would be. I mean, I like Dobbs, right? But I like him more as a number two. I don't think you could rely on Christian Watson to be healthy, at least going into the season. And then, you know, you got a bunch of role players that I like as threes or fours and Wicks and some of these other guys. I would love that, man. But what I'm worried about with this team is I do think that they're probably going to end up go offensive line once again, even though they went with a guard and they spent money on a guard. Good chance that they probably have to draft a tackle, because now I think they're going to move Elgton Jenkins to center, it looks like. But I'm worried about the secondary, man, especially if they do move on from Jaire Alexander. I have no idea who that shutdown corner is. I like Nate Hobbs, but he's more of a slot corner, right, or more of a nickel. So I think they might have to go corner, and I wish they would have did that last year when Cooper DeJean was there in the first round, but they went offensive guard. So per usual, they'll probably do something that I don't understand.
Maybe Maxwell from Kentucky. He's a guy I really like also. Ryan, before we get into all this draft talk and everything, but get your take on the Final Four, Florida-Auburn SEC matchup here. Man, did Florida get a scare with Texas Tech. Man, and I give the Red Raiders a lot of credit. They just couldn't close the deal at the end, but they had Florida where they wanted them and just could not put them away. Your thoughts, Florida-Auburn?
That was one of those games where I think I spoke too soon, because I had the points with Texas Tech, and they did end up covering the spread, but unfortunately they did not win the game outright. And so I did go with one bracket all chalk, just because if you look at the KenPom numbers, these are four of the best teams that we've ever seen in the tournament, right? And so that's why I'm really excited for these games. But I thought if there was going to be a Cinderella story, it could be Texas Tech. I really like JT Toppin, and I like that team all season long. And that's the thing about Florida, is I feel like that's the scariest thing about them, is we haven't seen their best game yet. That said, though, I like Auburn in this game, man. Their three leading scorers, including Broome, are all seniors. I like Bruce Pearl, and everybody's picking Florida. So originally I just wanted to be different, but the more I dive into the matchup, you know, Florida's kind of been playing with their food. You know, they've been tested in every single one of these games. I know everybody loves this team, but there's something about this Auburn team that I really like. So in the first game, I took Auburn +2.5, and then I bet the under at 161.5, just because these are two teams that know each other well. They already saw each other this season. So I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring. The total did tick down to 159.5 earlier today.
I saw it.
I still like that.
Yeah, I would like that too. Duke-Houston, I told this to Charlie a couple of weeks back before it all started, that, man, Duke to me, they're the ultimate type of team where – they Noah's Ark. They got two of everything, no matter what. And, man, you see it in spurts, just how dominant they can really be. And playing a Houston team, and I'll be honest, they got tested to also to the brim in their last game they played. Your thoughts on Duke-Houston? I think in this game, contrasting styles makes a difference. But, man, Duke got some talent. Good gracious.
Yeah, on paper, they're the best team. They should win it all. If they do get beat, it's funny because I just said I like Auburn to beat Florida, but if Florida does beat Auburn, and they're 2.5-point favorites, so they should, right? I think Florida would be a bad matchup for Duke, or at least a team that could possibly beat Duke. What worries me about Duke is the ACC was down this season. They did have a really tough non-con schedule, obviously, and they played great in this tournament. But they're just beating teams by 20 points per game, 20.2 points per game. So I'm just worried when they do get tested in one of these games. And their players are great. Cooper Flagg's awesome, but they're also teenagers or 20 years old, whereas with Houston, all these guys like Cryer are 23, 24 years old, and you have to be really tough, obviously, to play for Kelvin Sampson. And Houston, just like Duke, can dictate the pace, so they could play slow with Duke. They're going to guard them, but I just worry, like, you know, do they have the size? Because Duke's big and they're athletic. That's why I think Florida would be a better matchup. But 5.5, I just think that's too many points for a Kelvin Sampson team. They're the third best defense in the country, you know, number one in some metrics. So I like Houston with the points, but I like Duke to win the game. And I kind of like the under in the game as well. I think that kind of correlates with Houston staying in there.
Your thoughts on Florida, Ryan? I know you mentioned that you're taking Auburn in that matchup, but the run that Florida's gone on, I think it's been extremely impressive. A lot of folks talked about that region that they got, the bracket, how it was the toughest of the four, and then they take down the two-time defending champion UConn Huskies and a come-from-behind win late, and then they take down the Crab Five, that Maryland team that was kind of upstart and all exciting after Derek Queen's, the win that they had over Colorado State, and then Texas Tech, and that game in the Elite Eight, where they are quite literally beat, and then they go on an 18-4 run to win the game. Florida's path has been difficult, but they're battle tested. They won the SEC tournament as well. I think they're one of those teams that, you know, they're not the favorite to win it. Duke is, but Florida's not a bad bet either.
No, absolutely not, man. They're probably, I mean, I think KenPom has them as the third best college basketball team of all time. And there's a reason for that. I mean, Walter Clayton is an absolute stud and he could score 30 in this game, right? Elijah Martin also could go and get buckets. And then Will Richard, you have a big and Alex Condon. Todd Golden, a solid coach. And like you said, man, the committee, they did them no favors, them or Auburn. It's been really impressive watching the run that those two teams have made. And I'm not saying, you know, or trying to disregard anything that Duke or Houston have done right here, but I just thought that they had the easier path. So that's why I really like them in my bracket. But yeah, this Florida team's scary. It's really scary betting against them, you know, and especially because, like I said, man, they haven't played their best game. They've been battle tested. They're not just beating teams up by 20 plus points in this tournament. They've had to come back. They've had to make crazy comebacks. They have the shooting. On paper, they seem like a perfect team. You know, like, if I ask my son, who do you want to watch play in the championship game? He's going to say Florida and Duke. And I think actually all of us would agree, unless you have bets or you're an Auburn fan or maybe a Houston fan. But I think on paper, that's the best matchup, man, because Florida's so damn good and they have been good all season long. And it's a team that everybody underrated coming into the year. Yes. I wish I would have bet them coming into the year, man. Right. They were like 150-1 to win it all. Now they're the favorites.
That is a crazy stat. We'll pivot a little bit to college football. And I know you didn't grow up in this area, but you got a lot of respect for the SEC. And the win totals come out, and they're all jammed at the top with Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, and Alabama. The thing I look at is Texas has got Arch Manning at quarterback. Tennessee, with Nico, he's got to develop into a better, a more consistent passer, maybe is the best term to use. I thought their front seven, and they lose some pieces out of that, won't be as good in 2025. And then Georgia's always there. Their defense, and they recruit so well, despite the fact they're going to lose Jalen Walker and Mikael Williams and Malachi Starks to the National Football League. Your thoughts on the logjam at the top for the SEC? And a lot of that is either 9.5 or 10.
Yep. Yeah, great question. So I don't even care who's on the roster. Obviously, I do, right? I mean, they're always going to lose guys. I like Georgia this year just because I know Kirby is going to have his guys motivated, right? There's been a lot of stuff going on off the field the last couple off seasons, so I would be shocked if there was a lot of that going on this summer. And also, you know, just the exits that they've had in the college football playoff. Any year, it's championship or bust every single year at Georgia right now, just like it was at Alabama, right? And so I think that Kirby is going to have them as at least a 10-win team. So I would play their win total over no matter the price. Texas, I like Texas, but I like Texas every single season because I love Sark. Little down on Sark because I had a lot of money on them, Mike, in that playoff game. And for whatever reason, on the one-yard line, we run that pitch play.
He spit the bit. Come on.
But I like Arch. I need to see a little bit more from Arch before I'm all in on Arch, though. He should be great, man. He's finally it's also his turn now, right? Yep. You know, it's not easy when you're splitting time or you're sitting behind a guy. So now let's see what he could do. And I'm not sucking up here. I promise the first win total that I bet, I talked about it on the show, was LSU. And here's my reasoning why. I like Nussmeier, right? I know you're going to lose a lot of talent. You're going to have to protect Nussmeier. But if Brian Kelly doesn't win 10 games this season, oh, man, I mean, the Notre Dame fans are already having a field day, right, with the way that he exited there and now he's got all the resources. If he doesn't win double-digit games, man, whew, I think he's going to be on the hot seat. And you know more than me, but if he's not
already. He is already. I don't know about losing a job, but come on, winning 9 games at LSU. They feel that's unacceptable. You got to be in the that top 12. You got to be in the playoff system here, and I think that there's a little bit of fire because of his contract. He's not going anywhere, but can he get them to take another step? And what you brought up is similar to my thinking in that with Nussmeier, you have the experience at quarterback. And some of these teams in the hunt, they don't have that. That guy hasn't played that entire season, and we saw what season 2 did for Jaden Daniels, what season 2 as a starter did for Joe Burrow. And can Nussmeier follow that path?
Yeah. Yeah, and Mike, that's why, I mean, it's tough to say this if I'm a Giants fan or if I'm in that organization, right? But if I am, or I'm Tom Brady, I might pass on a quarterback and take the best available player in this draft just because, you know, I would take Nussmeier probably over Shador right now. Cam Ward, I really do like a lot. The more I watch him, man, I mean, I was just really impressed last year. And I don't even think we've seen his full potential. Like, this is a guy that's just gotten better and better every single year. But I think Nussmeier is going to be the first quarterback taken. I really do. I think he's going to have a monster season. I think it's too chalky, but I do think that he's going to be a legit Heisman candidate. Again, it comes down to, can they protect him? And is he chasing points every single week? He can't be playing on a team that's giving up 40 points per game. You got to get the defensive side of the ball fixed up, right? Like a typical LSU defense. And this has to be the year now, right? I mean, it's been a while now for Brian Kelly, and I like the talent, right? I mean, I love Jaden, and I love Nussmeier, and we love all the wide receivers and Perkins, but it's time now to win with the talent. And that was my issue. I'm a Notre Dame fan. That was my issue with Brian at Notre Dame. I always just thought you beat the teams that you should beat, but you don't win the big games. And I want to see him do that now at LSU. And he'll have a test right off the bat against Cade Klubnik and Clemson. And I do think that they win that game, and I think they win 10-plus games this season. I really do.
Well, you think they'll beat Clemson? Okay, man, listen, he ain't been too good on these season openers.
No.
That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, no, I think he's due for one, though. And I'm not that I'm down on Clemson. And I do like what they've done this offseason. But, man, what they need to do, what Dabo needs to do, everybody's going to be lazy and say he needs to hit the portal, which he does, right? But he still does a solid job recruiting. But, man, it's been a long time since they've had a T. Higgins or a Sammy Watkins.
I agree.
They need to find a wide receiver that could create separation. That's why I like Klubnik a lot more than most, man. I thought people were down on him. He's had, what, 2-3 different play callers. Now, finally, you know, Garrett Riley settled in a little bit there, but they need to get him a wide receiver that, one, could go up and get it, and that could create separation. And they haven't had that in a long time. So I think on paper right now, and I know we haven't even had spring games yet, I think LSU should win that game. So I thought their win total was a little bit short. But, you know, other than that, I do like Georgia to bounce back. I say bounce back. They were in the playoffs. The big question mark I have is Alabama, man, because I got a lot of buddies that went to Alabama. We're all in this big group chat, and they are freaking out. Caleb DeBoer, hot seat. I'm like, guys, it was one season, right? So that's the team I'm most interested in watching this year.
Ryan, before we let you run, going back to the 2025 NFL draft, and just BetMGM's got a ton of props, like as far as first player drafted in this position, and you know, the first overall pick, Cam Ward, is like the worst kept secret. He's going to be the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans on draft night in 3 weeks. But what are some of your favorite bets from, you know, the props that you see so far about 3 weeks away from the draft night?
Yeah, so what I keep doing is just waiting for these odds to shift, right? So Travis Hunter most likely isn't going to be the second overall pick, but I can make the case for him to be the second overall pick, right? Cleveland already got a solid pass rush last year. I would take Abdul Carter. I'm not going to lie. I'd probably take him number one overall, man, and then get my quarterback next year if I'm Tennessee. But Travis Hunter, you're getting good pub. They could sure use it right now after the Deshaun Watson situation. And they've been searching for that wide receiver forever. You could play him, you know, in the secondary. So he was plus 650 yesterday. I bet a little bit of that. Now it's down to plus 150. I like looking at what teams need, right? Like position of need. So for Buffalo, I really like them to take a defensive lineman or an edge rusher. They have to get some sort of pass rush, man. And I like their offseason. I didn't really love their offseason. But again, if you're going to beat Mahomes, if you're going to beat Joe Burrow, you got to get somebody on that defensive line or on that edge. So that was one I like. And then, you know, I keep looking at the market just to see at number three. The Giants, also really interesting. I do think that there's a chance that they still go Shador, even though they have Russ Wilson, even though they have Jameis Winston. Wouldn't really surprise me, but I just keep waiting to look at those prices change, man. And anytime you get like a 7-1, 8-1 on Travis Hunter on any of those teams in the top three, I bet it, because I do think that he's going to be a top three overall pick. And the funny thing is, I don't know what he is at the next level, and I know there's people that are trying to make the case against him right now, but I just think the tape's too good, and he's a good dude off the field, so I would take him.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great insights. We appreciate it, buddy, and have a great show tonight.
Mike, thanks so much for having me, guys. Always appreciate it. Take care.
All righty. Ryan Horvat, our Odyssey Betting Insider, hosts a BetMGM tonight. You can hear it on all our Odyssey stations. We'll be back with some draft talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long, and it's part of our daily draft special that we do leading up to draft day. And I talked to Charlie about this, about how the body types for linebackers have changed throughout the years. It's my 40th year covering the draft. And back in 1981, I didn't put out a draft book that year, but I saw the linebackers. 81, it was the LT year. Lawrence Taylor comes out in 81 and sort of changes the football world of, that's what I want a 3-4 outside linebacker to look at. And in that year, there were four first-round pick linebackers, and five in round two. And in round two that year, two Hall of Famers, Mike Singletary with the Bears and our own city champ, Ricky Jackson, going in the second round. So there were nine linebackers picked in the first two rounds. Body types from 6'2 to 6'4, 225 to 245. 1982 draft, there were four first-round pick linebackers and six in round two. So back-to-back years, you got nine, and then you get 10. I swung it to 2000, basically like 20 years ahead of that. Five first-round pick defensive linebackers and four in round two. Nine. In 2001, three first-round pick linebackers, five in round two. So the numbers are pretty steady there. 8 to 10 linebackers going in the first two rounds of the draft. All kind of all built the same way. 7-on-7. Changed the world and how we do things. It changed offensive schemes. Spreading the field out. Three wide receivers. A slot almost tight end that can play wide receiver today. You got to cover. The 245 or 250-pound guy, that's a rarity that he can cover a running back or a tight end. And I could see it in the camps. You see these guys that look to be that they would play linebacker in high school. Well, no, sir. I'll play wide receiver or I'll play tight end. In 2022, there were actually two linebackers picked in round one, and Quay Walker, Devin Lloyd. There were three picked in round two. 2023, three linebackers picked in round one. And I'm throwing Will Anderson in there because he really is the hybrid guy, and along with Jack Campbell, Nolan Smith. So three, and then two linebackers picked in the second round. Five total. 2024, one first-round pick linebacker, Dallas Turner with the Vikings, edge rusher. The next guy picked, Edgerton Cooper, young man from Covington High School, goes to Texas A&M. But Turner got picked 17th, Cooper 45th by the Packers. And Chris Braswell, Dallas Turner's tag team partner at Alabama, he gets picked 57th overall by Tampa. Now it's down to three. this year's draft class. I'm going to throw Abdul Carter in there because he started as a linebacker. Last year he played defensive end. He's a bit of the joker position that, you know, you can stand him up or put his hand in the dirt, and he basically kind of is built like a 3-4 outside linebacker. Jalen Walker from Georgia, the Butkus Award winner, who has played off linebacker the first two downs, and then what Georgia does, they put him out on the edge. Hey, sick him. Get the guy trying to throw the football in obvious third down situations. Again, he's a 6'1", 240-pound guy. And then Jihad Campbell goes to Alabama. Coach Saban recruited him and recruited him as an edge guy. He played wide receiver and defensive end in high school. But Coach Saban was, no. He's going to play 3-4 outside linebacker for us. And all of a sudden, you got Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell. Hey, Campbell, kick it inside. So he started as an off linebacker, an inside player. Last year, you saw a little bit of them moving him around. He played inside, and in obvious third down situations, he played sick'em. Go grab the quarterback. So that's three. You might have a fourth go in round two, and that's a young man that the Saints paid a lot of attention to today, along with 29 other teams in his individual workout at UCLA, and Carson Swesinger, a 6 foot, 2.5, 240-pound linebacker. Charlie, he was a walk-on at UCLA, a walk-on guy. You watch UCLA play, and I did the film breakdown of him before they played LSU. Man, it's like he knew the play before the play. If he didn't make the play, he was shoving a guy into the edge portion where the play would end up. He knew it. How smart he is. I think he'll go in round two. I think he'll be a top 42 pick. But I think it'll be more 32 to 42. And then maybe you might squeeze another guy, maybe Demetrius Knight from South Carolina. He's 25 years old. I don't hold that against him. That's not a big overage thing. And he's built for it. He's almost 6'2", 240 pounds. And then Chris Paul Jr. from Ole Miss, who's a little under 6'1", and he weighed into the combine 222 pounds. Now, he's built like the linebackers we see today, but look at the diminishing numbers there. We went from 8 to 10, and that was in almost a 20-year time span, and then we go 5, 5, 3, and in this year, most likely 4, maybe squeeze in a 5th. You can see the body types for these linebackers aren't there. And this may be the last of the Mohicans. You may have big numbers this year compared to what you'll see in the next couple years, because all those guys that would have played outside linebacker or inside linebacker, they're catching the ball.
Yeah, the last of the Mohicans is a way to say it, Mike. They're going the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
The dumping linebackers at the NFL level. And we've talked with Mark Schlereth about this a bunch, and how the NFL transitioning to the passing game, right, in the last decade has made linebackers smaller and faster. And a lot of the times you'll see these linebackers and they look like safeties, but they're playing the linebacker position. I mean, Pete Warner is a perfect example of it for the Saints and for Saints fans to understand. As far as this year's class goes, Mike, Jalen Walker is one of those more interesting guys. I know you consider Abdul Carter also kind of a linebacker. He was an off-ball linebacker before transitioning full-time to edge this past year. And boy, did he make his impact felt as a full-time edge rusher at Penn State this past season. He's fantastic.
Here he comes.
He's one of the true blue-chip prospects in this draft class, and he's not going to fall outside of the top five. As far as Jalen Walker goes, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. You and I agree it feels like Carolina is going to take him with the 8th overall selection, one pick before the Saints.
Dang.
But he would fit perfectly into that, you know, outside linebacker role that the Saints so desperately need with this transition to a 3-4 defensive scheme. Jihad Campbell, though, is a very interesting prospect. In my first mock, I had him going closer to the 25-ish range. Mike, there's no shot that he falls out of the top 15.
No, I tell you, he's a teens pick.
Yeah.
He's a teens pick in round one. Now, he is coming off the labrum injury, and so they'll look into that. But normally, he got it operated on in February. That's a four-month recovery. And he's a young cat. Man, if you're an older dude, that might take you a little longer. Young guy, 3 to 4 months, you back in the fold. So you might miss maybe the rookie drills in May, but that's about it. But, man, what you see in him is a rare athlete at that size of 235 pounds that can run like he can. I'd like to see him become a little bit more disciplined and work his way out of heavy traffic when running plays are at him. But you just watch him. Because last year was really his first year. He got extensive playing time. And, man, if I'd have been Alabama, he'd have been on the edge a lot more than they played
him. That's what people were angry at Georgia for with Jalen Walker. Like, a lot of scouts see him, oh, he should be a full-time edge rusher. They played him off ball a lot. Like you mentioned, Mike, the first two downs. And then on third down, get after the quarterback. Go knock his head off, right? Jalen Walker is a really interesting prospect. Jahad Campbell, both those guys are going to be top 15-ish picks. And then Abdul Carter, as I mentioned, is not going to fall out of the top five. But then after that, it's kind of a little
It's Wessinger, and he becomes the wild card here because where do you pick him?
In the middle of round two, in all likelihood.
I think he goes real early in round two. I think he goes real early, Charlie, because, okay, it's supply and demand. If those three guys come off, then if I need that position, I got to pick him. I don't get a second shot at him.
Right.
And so I think he's going to get helped because of that. The body types are changing in the NFL, and they're going to change to get bigger because now the teams are starting to run the football more. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one on Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.